price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Hey guys, how are you? How are you on a beautiful Wednesday evening? Yes, it's a Wednesday evening, it is. And I apologize for not being able to do Monday. I had a prior commitment. I had to go and judge a pretty sweet event in Hartford, Connecticut called 86. Basically, it's a competition. People cook against each other, blah. We all know the story. But it was a lot of fun, though. Great job from them. What's up? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Chef Plum. I'm down here in the basement. Just popped the top on a cold one. Getting ready. It's funny because I don't drink a lot of beer here lately, and it's, I'm trying to watch my girlish figure. But tonight's interview, I have to have a drink or two. I have to because we're having Ori on the show tonight, and you know, iconic, right? To some of us, right? I mean, if you're iconic to somebody, I guess we've done something right. And Ori's on that platform for me, so looking forward to chatting with her, catching up with her, and finding out you know, her story, because every superhero has an origin. And tonight we're going to find out Ori is. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. We'll have her on here in about 10 minutes or so. I am safely recovering at home after a 2-week battle with the sickness that won't go away. So I know who cares. Like, why am I talking about that? But the point is that I think it's made me not like beer anymore. I think the reason I don't like beer anymore is because I think we're overthinking beer. What do you guys think? I mean, every time you have a beer now, if it's some local craft brewery, it looks like it's going to be delicious. You taste it, and it's just so hoppy. It's just over-hopped, and in my brain, it just kills it for me, man. Like, I want something. If I'm coming off a 15-hour day working or a 12-hour day working, and I want a cold beer, I don't want to drink some hop bomb that's going to make me feel like I need to drink a Miller Lite because I still need a beer. Now, I'm not saying I'm drinking Miller Lite on a regular basis. I'm just saying that something different, something that's you know, isn't this crazy hop bomb. Because that's what we live in the world now, where that's all it is. It's just intensity and hop bombs from everybody. They're all just putting overly hops. We use wet hops. We use dry hops. We use German and American hops. We use Japanese hops. Well, I was curious if the rest of the world felt like I did when it came to really super hoppy beer. So what I did was I looked up the 10 best-selling beer brands in the entire world, and man, is it mind-blowing. There's some money involved in this, you guys. I had no idea, but there's serious money. Anheuser-Busch, I mean, the amount of money that these people have, it's mind-numbing. Like, they have, out of all the, I guess what I'm saying is this. What's crazy is if you look up, you can even look at some of your favorite small craft breweries that maybe you grew up with, or craft breweries that are in your local town. Dude, Anheuser-Busch is buying them. They're buying them all. That's what they're doing. Because they believe it's the next wave, but they're buying them all and allowing them to continue how they brew it just under their standards or whatever. It's interesting. So I looked up to find out if everybody else in the world felt the same way I did about beer. And the best way to tell that is what kind of sales are we doing on beers? Now, I know you're going to be like, well, not everybody knows what good beer tastes like. And okay, I get that. And I agree with that. You're right. But money talks and bullshit walks. And right now, when it comes down to it, when you're looking at the best way to tell some of the best beers are by sales. And I was quite surprised. This came from the street.com money website or whatever. The number 10 beer in the entire world is Coors Light. I mean, I remember growing up, Coors Light being like a step up from Natural Light for me. And I'm talking high school, middle school, being when I would buy beer, or get someone to buy a beer for me, which is interesting. However, you're seeing some of that stuff from these type of beers obviously take a little bit of a hit from the local companies, but it's nothing that's even going to really put too much of a major dent in them. So like, Coors Light is the number 10 beer sold in the entire world. Coors Light, the Silver Bullet. The number 9 beer is a beer called Brahma. Brahma beer. Actually, it's an Anheuser-Busch company, which is interesting. They're in San Paulo. It's actually a Brazilian beer, and Brazil has a giant, giant beer culture down there. This beer goes back to 1888, but Anheuser-Busch didn't pick up until 2005. It's sold all over the world: Canada, United Kingdom, Russia, France, Australia, and about 10 other countries. But in Brazil, it's where 98% of all beer sold is a Pilsner. So this is like the Brazilian traditional Pilsner. Pretty interesting. I want to try that one. I like Pilsners. They're good. Number 8 is Harbin, another Anheuser-Busch company. It's a Russian-Polish beer that was eventually made its way to China. So now it's a Chinese beer made with a very, very simple. It's just water, malt, and hops. That's it. That's how they make this beer, that's how most beers are made. But some people now add rice, so they're adding corn, you know, that sort of shit. So interestingly enough, another Anheuser-Busch company. Number 7 is Heineken. I still enjoy a good Heineken now and then. I really do. They've changed how they brew their stuff these days. They're actually using a Cascade hop now, which is more of an American-style hop that kind of gets rid of that funky flavor. That was me sipping my Heineken. But the production in the U.S. is up for the past 2 years, and the market has really kind of held steady at about 2%. So Heineken has about 2% of the beer market. That's a lot, if you think about it. I mean, all over Africa, Latin America, everybody has gotten in on that. That green bottle and the star kind of do all the heavy lifting, they say. It's like that's their branding. That's what it's about. It's about branding. But Heineken also controls Newcastle, Moretti, Affigem, Foster's, Murphy's, Beamish, Tiger Beer. I mean, it has a lot of different beers in their portfolio, but the regular Heineken is their main one. The next one on here at number 6 is Yanjing, which is a Chinese beer as well. Has 10% of the market, which is crazy. More than 80% of the city's beer drinkers choose this particular beer, and the signs are everywhere all over the city. It's the official beer of the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Funny, you never think of Olympic level athletes and beer. I do think of them in McDonald's, though. All Olympic athletes go to McDonald's, don't they? That's what the commercial says. No, maybe I'm crazy. Number 5 is Skoll. It's from Carlsberg, which is interesting, but it's also an Anheuser-Busch product. How about that? Again, they're picking up all these beers, man. It's British, Canadian, Swedish, and German breweries try to create a global beer that would provide a fallback option for beer drinkers around the world. The beer was eventually brewed by Carlsberg in the UK. By Belgium's Unibrew in Africa, and by Brahma in Brazil. So it's kind of the same company. When Anheuser-Busch took over Brahma, it gave the beer a huge push in Brazil and made it one of the nation's top sellers, right next to Brahma. So this beer does really well itself in Brazil. Because I think because of the, you know, they have so many people at soccer games. I mean, they just sell so much beer. Interestingly enough, number 4 is Budweiser. There you go, Budweiser. You know, in the 1980s, Budweiser accounted for nearly 25% of all the beer sold in the U.S. Isn't that crazy? 25% of the beer sold in the entire U.S. in the 1980s was Budweiser. But by 2012, that market share had dropped to below 8%. And I can guess now, 5 years after that, it's even lower than that. I mean, Budweiser just doesn't taste good. I don't like it. It does not taste good. It's not a good tasting beer. Number 3, interestingly enough, is Bud Light. This stat is what really blew me away when it came to thinking about beers. In the United States, 1 out of every 5 beers sold is a Bud Light. How about that? 1 out of every 5 beers sold is a Bud Light. That's a lot of beer, man. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, they've added that Bud Light Platinum, Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Chelada, Bud Light Strawberryta. I can't deal with all that stuff, and I'm not really a big Bud Light fan either, but man, I tell you what, that's huge. 1 out of every 5 is a Bud Light. How about that? Man, do you guys drink Bud Light? I don't know. Number 2 is Tsingtao. That's a great beer. Tsingtao is 15% share on the Chinese market, which is huge. It's also starting to make its presence here. I remember seeing Tsingtao at the Bacon and Beer Classic this year. Not a bad beer. Not my style of beer. More of another Pilsner, but very, very earthy, very vegetal type of Pilsner. Does that make sense? Not really one of my favorites. Drinkable. I mean, you could crush those. It's got a giant market in China, though. How about that? And of course, coming down here to really blow you away, the number one selling beer in the entire country. And I'll bet most of us have never even had it. It's called Snow. This beer didn't even exist 21 years ago. It is now the biggest beer in the entire world. I mean, that's the Chinese beer market for you. Obviously, it's from China. It's a Miller product, which is hysterical. But man, I tell you what. It is produced by Miller and some Chinese resources enterprises. There's nothing really, it says there's nothing really special about this pale lager. It's a fizzy yellow 3.9% alcohol, brewed with mild stays hops from the Czech Republic. It's your basic light beer with a little less alcohol. Interesting. So, I mean, but it's the most popular beer in China by a long stretch. It takes 80 breweries just to meet the demand. And I never even had this, man. Let's see. Are they going to, it's not exactly ubiquitous here in the U.S., but it's a prime example of what a brewer can do. When there's an untapped market just waiting for it. So it went to Brazil, I guess. No, it says you're not going to see it in Brazil because I guess they just want better beer. I mean, that's what, I guess maybe the Chinese people in their beer, they don't really complain too much about it. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Not my style for sure. I'd like to have, I don't mind a light beer, but, you know, I think what the point of all this is that not every single beer that's super hoppy means it's going to be popular and amazing. I think what bothers me is that, you know, I see all these, I mean, where I live now, we have an unbelievable amount of local breweries popping up everywhere. And, you know, a lot of the beers are good. A lot of them, it's just that super hoppy stuff, man. It's just not my thing. I can't do it. I don't know. I don't like the super hoppiness of beers. I think it's turned me off, especially after the sickness. After this, me getting deathly ill, but I digress. I digress. Hope you guys are having a great week. It's midweek. It's hump day. It's Wednesday. A lot of you guys are working for sure. I know. So if you check the show out afterwards, please give me a little rating, a little review if you feel like typing a few words. And don't forget, you can subscribe to get the show put to your phone every single week for free. That's right, for free. Doesn't cost you anything. Nothing. Cost a couple seconds of your time to get the phone in there. Get the episode put right down to your phone. So I hope you check it out. Hope you dig it. Tonight's going to be a great time talking to the one and only Ori. I'm looking forward to getting into her and finding out. That sounded weird. Getting into her story is what I meant. I know that sounded weird when I said that. I didn't mean that. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get tongue-tied talking to Ori. And that's not cool. I don't want to do that. I want to be cool. I'm like the Fonz, baby. How's the Fonz? He's cool. He's cool, right? Or that's not what I am. Maybe I'm uncool. That's a hint on some angle. That's a hint. Anyway, check it out, you guys. I'm gonna get my old ducks in a row here. I'm gonna pour myself a beverage. I am going to get my notes in place. And in the meantime, I'm gonna do it one more time this week. Just I don't know, man. We have to. We gotta pay tribute to. One of the best rock and rollers in the planet. We lost this past week, Tom Petty. My name is Chef Plum. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Please check out Free Falling by Tom Petty. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Ori. Hang tight.
She's a good girl. Loves her mom. Loves Jesus. In America too, she's a good girl. She's crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the. And I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. Vampires walk driving through the valley, move west down Ventura Boulevard, and all the bad boys are standing in the shadow, and the good girls are home with broken hearts.
Coming back live right here at Plum Love Foods Live. But first, before we get into our next and only guest tonight, I tell you what, I'm still nervous about talking to her. I can't stand it. I just am a little bit. That's the way it goes. I want to tell you guys a little bit about Ergo Chef Knives. These are the knives I use every single day of my life. These knives are awesome. You got to check them out. ErgoChefKnives.com. These knives are amazing. I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. I'm telling you they are. Go check them out. ErgoChefKnives.com or ErgoChef.com. And if you find something you like, it's a great deal. Locally made knives. Great company. They've made knives for some of the best chefs in the planet. You can use promo code PLUM15 off to get a great deal on a great knife. Made by unbelievable people. Make sure you check out ErgoChef.com.
Too much to ask for.
Yeah, wow, where's my fader? There you go. All right, guys, check it out. Coming back live, Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Chef Plum, hanging out with you tonight on a Wednesday. Just popped the top on a cold one, and really excited to turn that shit off. There you go. I love Calvin Harris, and right now, like, it's either I'm going to dance or I'm going to talk. I can't do both at the same time. I can do lots of things collectively, dancing and talking, however, not two things I can do together. So I had to pick one, and I choose to talk. Tonight, our guest here in our ass-kicking female chef series is one of my favorite people I got the honor to meet. I got probably about a year ago now. She's one of those people, iconic when it comes to Instagram, iconic in the True Cooks world, and just one of the nicest people that you'll possibly meet ever. And just unbelievably inspiring and just great people. And I love talking to great people. Hope I don't get too nervous talking to her, but she's here right now. Ori, hello, my dear.
What's up, Plum? It's been a while. Actually, it's been since 2015. Is it?
No.
Yeah, that's Gold Bar. That was a Gold Bar. Yeah, it's been that long.
Was
I think
really?
So, right?
God, I don't even know. That's how old I am now. I just like like 3 years means like 18 it's months right, to me. It's crazy.
These 2 years that have passed, I have like the craziest gray hairs. Like I'm about to crow, so you know what? I feel amazing. It's fine.
Dude, me too. I have a blue mohawk still, like my signature blue mohawk, but the sides of my hair are all gray. And I'm going to leave that shit. Don't everybody touch that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. It's you. It's very you.
That's right. The rest of it, I'll be gray as a motherfucker. I got a blue mohawk. So that's what we'll do no matter what. Just everything. We'll keep it straight. That's what you should do too. You should like let all your hair just go gray and pick like red or something.
You know what? I was actually thinking about that because I've been having this black do for a while. I think I need something new. I need something new in my life. Definitely.
Black
but
do.
You know what?
Well, listen, I'm trying to
pull up those locks.
No, definitely not. Are you kidding me? Your pictures are crazy looking, man. It's like one of the things I'm nervous to talk to Ori here because I get around pretty girls. I don't know. I start stuttering. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I'm just kidding, actually. I'm always been doing talking.
I'm all right. No, I'll stop. I'm all right.
Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I know a lot of people love hearing from you and hearing your story, man. And, you know, you've been a New York girl your whole life, right? Like you were born and raised in New York.
Yes, actually, thank you for having me. It's definitely a privilege. I'm not as active on Instagram, so I feel like, yeah, there's definitely a lot to say. And, yeah, I'm here for the ladies, you know?
There you go.
But, yeah,
that's right.
I'm from New York, born and raised in Queens, New York. And that's it. I mean, this is where I've worked my whole life. I did a whole Miami thing for 6 months. I lived there. I was living there for like 8 months back in 2012, but
right.
it wasn't my thing. I mean, I love it, but New York is my hometown. And I feel like one of those kids on stoops that don't want to leave, but I'm just so used to it. I love it. Yeah. Sometimes they're like, oh, dude, you have to like go somewhere. You need to like, you know, live somewhere else. And I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely do it for like 5-4 months, but I'm coming right back to New York. That's it.
Dude, there's just nothing like it. East Coast living, man. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, look, I'm in the city 3 days a week and I don't know. It's you go to California, you go to different places. There's just nothing like New York City. Nothing.
No, there isn't. And it's 24 hours a day. I mean, 24 hours. Yeah, exactly. Like a day. The strip clubs are open till 6 a.m. just like I like it, you know, and
nice.
You go to Canada, like I think everything closes like at 1 a.m. or 12. I don't know. It's just a lot of places are very restricted or until 2 a.m. But yeah, New York is definitely my thing. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think it's just maybe in Canada, they tell time different than we do. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I know. I
maybe
remember I went to Canada and it was like, I went out and it was like 1 a.m. and everything was was closed. And I'm like, what's going on now? This is like years ago. I don't know how it is now. I don't know how all parts of Canada is, but it was like, what type of vacation is this? Like, I need to do stuff, you know? But
yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it is. Like, yeah, I don't know how it is everywhere else, but definitely, I like New York. It just never sleeps. Just like me. I rarely sleep. I'll go to sleep like at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and I'll wake up at 7. That's just
there you
how
go.
It is.
See, I have 3 kids, so I still, and I'll tell you what it is, it comes from working in restaurants is what it comes from. I mean, I've spent the better part of my life doing this business, and we just, you know, we're used to being up. It's what we do. I'll do a bunch of work tonight when I finish with you tonight. Like, that's just what I do. My family's already in bed, you know, and then I'll sleep for 3-4 hours, and I'll get up and do the day. That's just what you do, you know?
I know. I definitely see you hustling, man. You're, like, all over the place. I see your Instagram
I appreciate
all the time.
That. Thank you. I do appreciate that. A lot of hard work, man. A lot of hard work. And I've always said that if one of us can make it happen, it's good for everybody. So that's what I'm trying to do, you know. So if I could do something, it'll help everybody.
Exactly. Definitely. Same here.
I mean, but, you know, a New York girl, so you've been working in New York. You've lived there your whole life. What made you get into the business? Like, what are those early memories that make you, you know, what made you say, yeah, I want to work in a restaurant?
I know. Let me tell you, like, in the beginning, though, this is not, like, the first thing that I wanted to do. I actually wanted to be a lawyer. So
right.
I went to school 2 years for criminal justice, and I got my associate's, but I was, like, 18 years old, and, I mean, I always loved cooking. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to culinary school. So I checked out some culinary schools in the city. I went to this place called ICE, but it wasn't really my thing. Then I went to a French Culinary Institute, and I fell in love automatically. Now I think it's called ICC. And from there, that's it. It was a wrap. I just never knew. I have a lot of cooks that always ask me, hey, chef, you know, I really want to go to culinary school and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, don't even bother. Like, just go and work in, like, different restaurants. But I decided to go to culinary school, and I did learn a lot because I only worked in one restaurant before that. It was, like, a small, like, a little Colombian restaurant in Queens. Right. And then after I graduated, I was working at LaGuardia Airport, like, freaking doing pizza balls and just a whole bunch of, like, the meats for the burritos and all this prep work. And
massive numbers, I'm guessing. Just massive, like, numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's different because now I think it's, like, OTG. So I think now, like, airport food is a little bit more refined. But yeah, right. That time it was definitely a great experience. So I loved working at the airport. But from there, I just worked at this place called Sushi Asambu. It's in the Greenwich Grill. It's like a Michelin star sushi spot. And then I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to work for something, which this is something that I really tell everyone, like, if you want to really, really, like, learn, I think people definitely need to work in a Michelin star restaurant, or, well, for New York, it'd be New York Times 4-star or wherever it is. It's not like it's gonna, I think that people need the structure and you learn so much. So then I just decided to work at Burke for 2 years. And I was in David
Burke. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah. I definitely tell people, because if you stay complacent and you stay in a place for a year or 2-3 years, I mean, no, I think you should definitely move. That's the reason I've moved to restaurant. And I've left all my all the spots that I worked at, an amazing, what is it called? Like, standing, like,
just been good.
All the spots. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that, I just wanted to learn as much as different, like, cultures, as much as different cuisines as I can. So then I was with Burke for 2 years, and I got my ass kicked. Like, let me tell you something. I don't smoke cigarettes, and I never liked it. But, man, those 4 months, the beginning 4 months, I used to smoke a cigarette every day before going in. It was crazy. And it's like, woo, damn, that feels good. Oh my gosh, I have stories for days, man. I got freaking terrine molds thrown at me, all these curses, like, they used to yell at me all the time. And then, but you know what, at the end, I'm like, you know, 2 years passed, and I'm like, you know what, like, damn, I learned a lot. And
that's what it's about, man. I want to take you back one second, just because I'm gonna go way back to the culinary school thing, because I'm actually a proponent of culinary school. I think school is a good thing. I think unfortunately it's being bastardized now by this slew of cooks and young people in the business who are getting out of school, and all of a sudden they think they're a chef. Well, I went to culinary school, I'm a chef now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good thing. I personally graduated from CIA, you know, years and years and years and years and years ago, and they kicked my ass. Like, it was insane. 70 people started in my group and 34 of us finished, and they try to make you quit. It's like boot camp. It's not like that anymore. I watched a 56-year-old man with his last name Moskowitz get brought to tears because he couldn't make a corned beef properly. Brought to tears in front of everybody.
That's what they did.
Oh, fuck yeah. It was no joke. I mean, they would tell you, they would always say, the door's right there. You can leave whenever you want. And that's what they did. But it's not like that now. Now it's this little pussyfoot bullshit. But I think school is a good thing. I think, you know, you get a great foundation when you go to school. But like with any school, you get out of it what you put into it. What do you think?
Yeah. You know what? I definitely agree with that. I just don't agree with people thinking that they need, when they're already in the business, like 6 or 7 years, or they want to start off in the business, I don't suggest them to go to school. I suggest them to work in a restaurant first. And then if you want to go to school, you could go to school, but it's not necessary.
Dude, when I went to CIA, you had to have 2 years of experience in a restaurant before you could apply to CIA when I went.
Oh, you see, I don't think it's like that for other schools.
No, so not in any. Not, yeah. Now it's 3 months if you work in any place.
In 2006, no one was throwing things or anything like that. It wasn't brutal at all. So when I started working in a restaurant, I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is like a joke. You know? Yeah, that's why I'm saying, I guess CIA is a little bit different because you're learning there, like how it's going to be in the real world. But when you go to French, they're not allowed to tell you how it's really going to be.
Oh, you signed a paper when I went to school, and they were like, listen, just so you know what you're getting into here, we are a private, not-for-profit school. We don't give a shit what you think, and we're going to teach you our way. And it's definitely not like that now, but that's the way it was. But now these guys come out of these – yeah, it is unfortunate. But now these guys come out of school, and they're like, oh, well, I went to culinary school, so I'm a chef. I'm going to open a restaurant. Are you? Are you a chef there?
I know. With this day and age, it's a little bit tough because everyone thinks like, yeah, look, I'm a chef, or they go on IG and they're like putting all these pictures up. Oh, look how pretty and fancy my food. Okay, it's pretty and fancy. And then what? Like, it's just, there's more depth to that, you know? And that's why I really suggest, like, if anybody, and I still, you know, unfortunately, like, IG, it's such a great tool, you know. I get these DMs every day of these new culinary people. And actually, someone, I had a meeting on Saturday. They have a new award, sponsorship award. And it's anyone that any alumni that used to go to French Culinary Institute, and if there's, like, new students that want to come in, and it's a mentorship. So,
okay.
This person just asked me. I mean, I knew them from like a while ago, but just because of IG, they want me to mentor them and they want me to like sign their sponsorship, which, I mean, I don't have to pay for it or anything like that, but it's like humbling because it's like, wow, you want me to help you, you know? And it's all these emails just because of IG or people that have gone to like prior restaurants that I've been at, you know? And, but I really, really, I like culinary school, but like I told you, it's something that I feel like you definitely have to work in a restaurant first, and then sure, kind of feel it out.
Well, because you have these people who will go into school and they think it's a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday, and I'm going to culinary school and I'm going to be a chef and I'm going to work at a lunch space from 9 to 5 on Monday. No, you're not. That's not how it's going to go at all.
It's not only the industry. It's like you gotta. It's a little hard now, like with the sensitivity of everything. Like, you can't say this, you can't say that. I just feel like a lot of people can't hack it. I wish that discipline was still there. But that's why I know, like, in Michelin star restaurants, even though it's not for everyone, I always encourage someone, they have to work in a Michelin star kitchen. At least for a year. I mean, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I mean, for me, it's like you need to work for the best to be the best. That's me. That's absolutely my motto. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I learned, you know?
I mean, look, my first day working in a, I'm not going to say the name of it, because I don't want to incriminate anybody, but in a five-star, five-diamond, AAA mobile-rated hotel, which, you know, it's down south. It's a little bit different than New York Times rated, all that stuff, because they don't have that down there, obviously. But same shit though, basically. My first day, I'm in the walk-in with two servers doing a bump of coke, and they're trying to figure out if they can, whatever else we can do. Let's just leave it at that. Not like, what the hell is happening? But obviously that's not the case anymore.
Oh my God. I have so many stories about that. Yeah.
It's See? Crazy.
Yeah. All the cooks, man, a lot of people, all the call-outs, all this craziness. I actually missed that. I just feel it was more rugged and real. But, I mean, right. I never got into it, thank God. But still, it was just something that, it was definitely an experience, you know?
Well, I've had the conversation with Chad, too, several times. And I'll say the thing, you and I and just that whole group of young culinarians, or not even young, but just culinarians and that time period, like, it's like a you know, like you said, you weren't trying to be a cook. It's not what you wanted to do. Me either. I went to school for music theater, and then I went to culinary school because I worked in restaurants. And
oh, wow.
You know, no one, we didn't ask. Yeah, we didn't ask to be here. It's we're a broken band of pirates. We're the Lost Boys, you know, we're Peter Pan's Lost Boys. And, but the coolest thing about it was, and I said the other week that we were talking about just unity and you know, in a kitchen that functions properly, a kitchen that's running smoothly, it's about that battle you're going to have that night, that dinner service. I don't care if you're black, white, red, purple. I don't care if you worship purple dinosaurs. I don't care where you come from or what you do. As long as you can cook, we're good. That's all that matters. And I think that, you know, a lot of people in this world could use that, you know, could use that in their lives, you know, these days.
Definitely. Definitely. The other thing is that people, I know I get DMs of this too, and they're like, oh, how should I feel, you know, being a female in the kitchen and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I guess for me, thankfully, I haven't experienced anything because of gender. I know it's probably a little bit more tough. I feel like a lot of people that say there's not a lot of female chefs in the kitchen, I feel it has a lot to do with, well, a lot of girls also want to have like a family. So I know they want to get pregnant too. It's a little bit tougher for them.
Right.
But I wouldn't really say, oh, because of gender, like, you know, a chick can't hack it or guys. I mean, it's all the same. I've had male line cooks that are, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm strictly like a babysitter, like always crying, all this other stuff. So yeah, and I've had a hardcore like chick line cook, so I really don't really see like a gender like difference. But I guess my advice for them would be just keep on working hard at it, you know, just be dedicated to what you have to do. That's how I was. I always remember, like, in a couple of kitchens I would always be the female, and it was before guys. Or I remember working in one kitchen, it was just like four guys and me and Japanese girl. She was so hardcore, man. It was bananas. But we were just do our thing, dedicated, heads down, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't I just say just go for it and just focus on what you have to do, and that's it. Nobody could take away your work, you know what I'm saying, what you're doing. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Just you do you, you know. I think I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
You just handle your
yep.
stuff, and the rest of the shit will fall in line. And I think you're seeing more and
exactly.
more. I think you're seeing more, you know, female cooks coming into the business these days. I think you are. This definitely was a male dominated business for a long time, and I don't know. I mean, it's funny when I think about it. I never really thought about it. Does that make sense? Until I think about it. And it never really even occurred to me.
That's
I had a
so
couple.
Funny because I'm the same way. Like there was, I remember I was working in this Irish hotel and they're like, oh, how do you feel, you know, being the only woman in the kitchen? I'm like, damn. I'm like, I never even thought about it. And I'm like, 7
right.
months in, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really feel a certain way.
You're like,
you know,
I don't know, it's a job.
Women, men, we all have our freaking kitchen talk. Who cares? You know, like
mm-hmm.
I'll start talking about my thing slapping you. You know what I'm saying? Like I could care less, but yeah, who cares?
Right.
I mean, it's just do your work and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Like I said, man, I think in a kitchen, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's like I said before, we don't care where you come from, what your history is, what your past is. A lot of us come from weird places. I certainly did. And just when you get in the kitchen, it doesn't really matter anymore. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where
exactly.
you come from.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
you just kind
of,
we're
exactly.
all in this together.
Yeah, working, I've been in this for like 13 years already, and that's all I used to breathe, like food, especially working in a New York City restaurant. You know, that's all you do. You just, your focus is food. You go home and you're still thinking about the food, the menu, how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Something down. You're like the carpenter, you're the plumber, you're the babysitter, you're the psychologist. You know, and, you know, being an executive chef in a New York City restaurant for the past 6 years, that's all you do. Like, you have completely, like, that's your life. You know, that's why people are like, oh, it's just the food. This, it's something that's all around. And I think that's why a lot of people fail, because a lot of you know, kids nowadays think that they're going to cook all this amazing food and they want to learn all these techniques, but that's all they know. They're not trying to expand and learn about the restaurant business around the back of the house, the front of the house. So you have to be in right. all around, you know, and you can't focus on one thing too much. So
listen, you can make a beautiful plate. That's fine. But can you make 50 yeah. of them when you have a rail full of tickets and can you make them all the exact same, make them perfect every
exactly.
single time?
I know.
I mean,
consistency,
that's what it is,
right?
Man.
That's what we all strive for. That's what we all
right.
strive for.
That's what we all try to do. I can't do it. I'll do my damnedest. I'll do the best I possibly can. They'll all be pretty fucking close, but I can't do them perfect every single one of them. I can't. If
yeah.
I can do them perfect, I should stop. Them. I should quit. Don't you think?
I know. I know these are the things that you have to kind of think about. That's why when I see these platings sometimes that are like, I don't understand a couple of things. I don't understand it. I mean, I see like 20 components and 25 dots and 6 colors. And I'm like, whoa, and, you know, I'm like, I can't like, yeah.
You're like, it's beautiful, but it's not realistic.
Yeah, no. Like literally, I see like 52 polka dots on a plate, and I'm like, seriously? And I really don't get it. I don't, and I'm like, I can't.
That's
I'm sorry,
awesome.
I can't. Like, yeah.
That's awesome. That's so funny. You know, it reminds me of our mutual friend Chef Scatories, and I just love this guy, and I've talked to him, and I'll tell you what, people give him shit for his balsamic reduction he puts on plates. But when I had him on this show and I asked him about it, you know what he told me, Ori? He said to me,
"What?"
He goes,
what?
"Yes, I know. And I get heat for it." He goes, "But you know what? My restaurant that is mine is sold out every single night. And I'm packed out every single night. That's what they want. That's what I'll give them." How can you argue that? You can't argue that.
Yeah. That's true. You can't argue that. And he's happy and he's doing and he's successful in what he's doing, then that's good for him.
You didn't give a fuck about
anybody.
Sometimes
you gotta kind of block out people. You have to block
yeah.
out people. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, no, I'm just agreeing with you. Totally. Like, he just, that's what he does. He doesn't give a shit. He's doing his thing. You know, he's like, I'm going this way. Come with me. And I just have a lot of respect for that. I think that's awesome. I love the guy. He's a sweetheart, too. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back to you here. I'm glad. I think we're kind of on the same page, the culinary school thing. So the last, you know, restaurant you were in was Swine, right?
Yes, and then I went to One Hotel Brooklyn, which I was supposed to be with my best friend, but he left to California, Chad.
Why would he do that? What a douche, huh?
No, just some different different things.
I'm kidding.
Didn't work out. Yeah. I'm like, no, don't say that.
I don't really think he's a douche. I'm just kidding. I love him. I think he's a great dude.
No. You know, just a couple of things. It wasn't that didn't work out. And and he's doing actually amazing. And actually, he moved to Vegas, as you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Any thoughts of? No, go ahead.
Any what? Any Boston what?
Well, no, I was going to say, any thoughts of you about moving out to California, but then you were about to say something cool, so I just tried to shut up and let you talk.
Oh, no. He's actually is working on a chef coat, and it's going to drop, like, in November, I think.
Is it really?
I believe. Yeah, November, yeah. I kind of saw a little bit, like, of the design. I don't know too much about it, but definitely, like, yeah, next month it's going to come out. I don't know if it's going to be fully done, but it's really, really beautiful. So definitely look out for that one.
He's gonna crush with that. I mean, that's gonna be he's not gonna keep those in stock.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm so picky with like chef coats because I'm so traditional. I've never gotten like chef coats from. I'm so picky with that.
Yeah.
I'm so plain. Like, I don't want to look robotic or like I'm from Mars. You know what I'm saying? So this chef coat
right.
is really, really nice. So it's designed. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty funny about that too, man. What do you think about that stuff? And I mean, listen, if it's no self-incriminating here, but I don't know, man. I've always had a problem with aprons that cost hundreds of dollars. I don't understand it for the life of me. I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I wear an apron to cover my shirt up, you know?
I know. Let me tell you, all my aprons, they have like a whole bunch of dots, stains, cuts. You know, you're paying really for, I guess, the brand. They say the material's this and that. I don't really have anything to say about those kind of aprons.
Man, I got like 10, like $6 aprons from Restaurant Depot that I wash and they're awesome. Whatever. They're black. Who cares? You know?
Yeah. I do like different designs and stuff, but I haven't been picky. Like I said, when it comes to like my chef jacket and my apron, I'm very traditional. I don't care about edge and this, but I do love different colors. But
yeah,
drop 100, I guess if you really like it, then definitely drop it. But it's not something that I would drop on every apron, $100, not at all.
Right, right. You know, I had Carlos from Lost Car on here a couple of years ago, and I was telling him I love his stuff. I was like, I love it. It looks great, but brother, I'm not going to spend, you know, $150 on a chef coat. I'm just not going to do it. Like, that's something
that's
I wear to work.
For that?
Well, one of them was at the time or something like that. And we talked with it. He came out with these other, it's like a kitchen shirt. It's awesome. It's like $20. I have probably 10 of them. It's the greatest thing ever. It's I'm wearing one right now. It's just the greatest thing ever. And
okay.
I don't know.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I believe all brands should definitely have that one piece or something that at least is like half price. Like I said, my chef coats are like $30-$40. They're nice and light. I only like one design. Like I said, I don't want to look like an alien robot. I don't need 26 straps on it. I just need buttons. And that's pretty much it. And I'm content. I'm happy. I could move. And those are the only ones that I really get with. But with the aprons, like it's a little hard. I was actually waiting for this drop. There was this company, I'm not going to say names, but there was this company that I saw an apron that I really liked, but I haven't seen. They were supposed to drop with a big name, and I really, really liked the design, but and I think it was going to be like 120, but it hasn't dropped
yet.
So that's what I'm saying. It really depends. If you really like something, definitely get it. But besides that, no.
I think the functionality of it, listen, if you really like, that's one thing, if you really like it, but I mean, I don't think people should spend that much money on an apron just to buy a brand. Like, that's not cool. There's just no reason for that.
No. Nope.
I mean,
not at all.
I'm not going to hire you to work with me because you have a high-end apron. Like, I don't really give a fuck what kind of apron you have, you know?
And you know what? Right now, I'm starting to think about, oh no, I don't even want to give a bad name, but there's so many people with those aprons. When I think of Brooklyn, Oh my God. Like hipster land or whatever. You walk to every shop, they all
look at
them. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah, it's bad. They all just dress the same, have the same hairstyle. They look the same cooking. It's so bad. I'm saying this. I'm going to get punished, but too bad.
No, you're good.
2-3 days ago, I'm like, I can't believe it. I felt like I was like in the Twilight Zone.
Dude, they all got their Mickey Mouse tattoos off down their arm, and they got full beards and thick glasses and $200 aprons, but they don't want to wear a chef coat under because that's not cool. So they put my white t-shirt on. Get the fuck out of here.
I know. Well, there goes the rules of the kitchen. I mean, I guess all kitchens, you start working differently. I mean, I remember I was working in kitchens before. If I was to wear a t-shirt, and it had to be a chef coat, the black pants, the hat.
I mean, the history of that goes back to the brigade system where everyone looks the same. It's almost military, you know, it's on purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't get it either. What's been your favorite place you've been in so far that you've worked? I guess don't name the place, but like style of food.
I'm going to have to say, well, one of my mentors, he's Guyanese, and there was a place called Onda in, when was it? It was like 2007 or 8 that I worked there. And he has a new spot in Harlem. It's called Lolo Seafood Shack. And he does sort of like an Asian Caribbean kind of thing. And that was definitely like one of the funnest kitchens that I've been at. And
What made it fun?
I could name so many kitchens of why I love them or what did I learn. It was so fundamental. Like, let's say when I was at Barbelude for like 6 months, the charcuterie thing that they had there, and to actually see that guy, like, it just, it's beyond. And the chef was very hands-on too, but he used to not throw things. I think he was like Italian. Yeah, he was Italian, married to Venezuelan. I think his name was Dean something. He wasn't abusive at all, but he was very firm, and there was a lot of things that I learned there. Burke, I love Burke just because his food is very whimsical. Like, I think I get a lot from there, like how I just creating like different things, and people are like, oh, how did you put this and this? I'm like, I don't know. I just think about like different flavors, or that's the other thing. That's why I tell people that they need to work as many different restaurants, because I feel like my food goes all over the place. Like, the more you know, the more cuisines you know, the more ingredients, the more you could do. Doesn't necessarily say you're going to put all those ingredients in one plate or that's going to be your focus, but at least you have all these different options to work with, and you get to choose whatever it is you want to do. And traveling, thank God I'm traveling now, so that's where I'm at now. That's why there hasn't been as many food posts.
You're traveling all over.
I know. I haven't been as active on IG, but like January, I'm finally going to China. Like, what, me being in a restaurant for 13 years, it's like, when would I really be able to travel? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I get, everyone talks about balance. Like, you have to balance this, you have to balance that. When that name is on the menu, I need to be there 60. I could delegate as beautifully as I can, but I like being there, and I like.
Well, you need to. I mean, that's a good chef.
Exactly.
That's your name on the menu.
And I can't, like, just like disappear and then go traveling and doing this. So, you know, just these months, it's been like April, I'm doing private events and restaurant consulting a lot, which has been pretty cool because I just set up the kitchens, I hire the line cooks, I'll set up the menu, consult with everything, the budgeting, the percentage, all that stuff. And I'll just hook them up for like the beginning, like 3-4 months, and then I'll get a chef de cuisine, and then he just starts it off from there. So I'll just start it off from them, you know. And traveling, I'm going to China. What is it? January to the 13th. And
that's awesome.
I'm going to Shanghai, Zhenming, and Beijing. I'm going to stage at this restaurant probably like 4 days, and then I'm going to stay with a friend in Shanghai. So finally, you know, I get to do these a couple of things, and a friend, you know, it's so funny because you try to get out of like the restaurant scene, and just like 2 Sundays ago, I even told Chad, I'm like, dude, I'm back in a restaurant. And he's like, really? You're going to start doing like Indian food? Oh, you did the menu? I'm like, no, dude, I didn't. But so he's like, I really need, he's like, and you know what's amazing? I never worked in an Indian restaurant. So I'm like, this is like the perfect thing for me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I had those ovens where they do the naan, and you just
the tandoori, right?
And I'm like, wow, this is like amazing. That I even took a video. Like, I'm like, wow. And then he's like, I just need a chef for brunch. He's like, but I need them to work the line. I'm in there. I love working the line. That's another thing about me. Like, since, you know, finally, you know, being from line cook to, and I had it the hard way, Plum. Like, I went from line cook to chef. I was never really a sous chef. So I got thrown in, like, I'm like, wow, this is a little crazy. So I didn't really know about, like, you know, like budgeting and doing the food costs and all that stuff. And figured it out on my own. And that's where IG comes from, and the whole True Cooks thing, Alvin. Alvin helped me.
Oh, my man.
Wine. Yeah, I love Alvin. Alvin, I love you.
My man.
He helped me so much. Yeah, he helped me so much with the whole menu and to do all the food costs. he's been in hotels for like so long. He just has that knowledge, just like everything.
Yeah.
And then I just learned on my own.
That dude's a beast, man. He's a monster. His kitchen, his stuff is just, it's killer.
Yeah, I think he's traveling right now too. He's doing his thing. That's the great thing about working in hotels, though. You work in hotels, you get three weeks, 2 weeks. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, I guess because I've always got stuck in a restaurant that I never really, you know, with the whole hotel thing. But God, I forgot what I was saying. It's so many things, guys. So the chef called me. He's like, hey, you know what? Like, I really need a chef to work the line on Sundays. And I'm like, all right, I'll definitely do it. So now I'm working in an Indian restaurant just for Sundays because I'm too, I can't take a full-time job right now. Not with everything that I'm doing, you know, on my side. So.
Yeah, but it's almost become like an educational thing for you. Like you're learning a lot being there, which is kind of cool.
Exactly. I love it. They're all Indian. Just seeing how they're doing things and everything like that in that oven, I'm like, wow. And I've always loved Indian food, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's
the oven is hot as shit, isn't it?
Yeah, you never stop learning. That's what I love about it. I'm like, wow, you know what? I'll do it. And for the amount of money just for a Sunday, why not? Woo!
Yeah, right? I mean, you there all day? Or are you there from like 6 to like
no,
2 or something?
Just for brunch, so I'm there from like 9 to 5. That's
it. Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I'm doing
that's
that.
All right,
and I'm also, yeah. And then I'm also doing, I'm starting to do real estate. So I'm training for that. So yeah. I like it. It's something that I always wanted to get into, especially, cause I have a lot of family in it. And I just think that it's good for just the change, you know, to learn something different. And I would love to start, that's after I get like my first license to do commercial real estate also. And you never know. That's why I feel like you have to expand and grow as an individual.
Totally.
You know, everyone cooks because they love cooking. Everyone's a chef because they love being a chef, but no one's getting rich off of it. I don't want to hear, but this chef, Bobby Flay or Mario, but no, they're doing 10 different things, and they're not just chefs. So if you want to dedicate your life and do that for 60 hours a week, that's amazing. Like, I love it. But you need to dab on different things and explore and hustle, just like you're hustling. You're doing one thing, but you're doing like 10 other things. That's
I know, and I'm still not rich. I'm still not rich. I'm hustling. I'm doing so many things.
I don't care about being rich. I just care about being comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I do.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Look, everything good that's ever happened in my life, Ori, everything that's ever good that's happened in my life has come from food. I met my wife through food. Food has... Me cooking with my two hands and making food has put a roof over my head. It's given me three beautiful children. It allows me to provide for them. Food will always be a part of my life, no matter what happens to me and what I do in the future.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Let me tell you, if it wasn't because of food, I ended up like, because I was just so focused on like saving up money. I mean, I wasn't rich, but I was always very smart and not wasting it on stuff like that. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have my apartment, you know?
Yeah.
And I bought it like at a younger age, and it was just because of food, because I worked and I worked in restaurants, and I did side hustles. When I worked at Gold Bar, I got a lot of clientele there. So like right now, for instance, like I work like in Westbury. That's like my main thing, Westbury. And I'll be there like 2-3 times like every month. And, you know, I'm fine. I'm doing fine with it. But
I miss
the restaurant. I can't lie. I do miss the craziness of a restaurant. And I've gotten a couple of offers. They haven't been sold. But who knows? Maybe I'll hit that back. But for now,
yeah, you never know, right? But the good thing is you're traveling, you're doing some fun things. Hey, listen, kick the show off tonight. My monologue tonight was on beer a little bit because I'm so tired of all these hoppy beers everywhere I go. So I want to talk. I talked about the 10 best-selling beers in the entire world. All right. And one of the best-selling beers, the number one, according to thestreet.com, the number one selling beer in the entire world is called Snow. It's only sold in China. All right. Here's what I need you to do. When you go to China, get me a six pack of this beer. I mean, they say it's nothing special. They say it's just like a fizzy yellow pale lager. Nothing special about it. 3.9% alcohol, but it's the biggest selling beer in the world. So you got to grab me a six pack of Snow.
Oh, I'll definitely. I'm looking at it here. I'm looking at the info.
Oh, you found it?
Oh, it looks interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
It was released in 93.
I thought for sure it was going to be Budweiser or something. Nope, it's called Snow. That's so funny. Listen.
And you haven't had it.
I've never had it. And I've been cutting back beer. That's a whole other story in itself. Or you're awesome. I love chatting with you. I can hang out with you and talk to you forever. We should get a beer sometime. It's been too long. Just catch up. I'm in the city all the time. I'll just text you sometime and see if you're around. But last words for those young culinarians who are checking the program out. What would you say to them? What would the best advice you could give them would be? How about this? Let's rearrange that a little bit. How about the young female culinarians coming up in the business? What would be the best piece of advice you would give them?
Just hold your ground. And the best advice that I've ever gotten that I give to everyone is just, you know, do your thing. Don't worry about anybody else and work in as many different restaurants and learn as much as you can. That's pretty much it. And just stay focused.
That's great advice right there. That's perfect advice. You guys, make sure you follow. I don't know why I'm telling everybody in the world follows you anyway, but Ori NYC on Instagram. That's O-R-E NYC on Instagram. Unless you live under a rock, but I'm sure the rest of you already follow her. But check her out there, of course, if you can. And keep your eyes out because she's going to start posting some of that. Dude, thank you so much. I appreciate the time tonight. You know, I'm trying to hold this show to an hour from now on because I'd get on here and run my mouth with people for like 2 hours. I'm like, God, it's like 12:30. I've got to go to work in the morning. What am I doing? And you know, but I appreciate your time, Ori. You're awesome. Thank you for coming on tonight.
You too.
And we'll definitely have you back. We'll get you back on one of these roundtable shows or something. We're talking about weird topics.
We'll definitely hook up soon. We'll hook up soon. Thank you for having me.
No doubt about it. You're the best, Ori. Thank you very much. Have a great night and good luck to you on your travels. All right.
You too. Bye.
All right. There she goes. There she goes, guys. The one and only Ori joining us tonight. What a great conversation with her. Learned a lot about her. She killed it, man. And her story is great. So big thanks to Ori. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done so already, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. It does amazing things for the algorithm, which I learned helps with the how the show gets uploaded to other people or something like that. And I want to tell you guys one more thing before I get out of here. October 28th, we have the most amazing event happening. Food Fight presents October to Dismember happening in Danbury, Connecticut at the Ergo Chef Knife Warehouse. We have two phenomenal chefs, Chef Carol Cody and Chef John Brenner, going head-to-head, Iron Chef style. This event is basically Stanley Kubrick meets Iron Chef. It's going to be sick. It's going to be insane. I can't wait. Make sure you get the information from that on my Facebook page. And of course, I'll post it on Instagram as well. And you got to come. Open bar. It's going to be awesome. I mean, $50 a ticket is going to get you open bar, pizza all night long, an incredible show, tons of raffles. And we're all doing it to raise money for an amazing charity called Your Exceptional Partner. They train service dogs. So make sure you get a chance to check it out. Food Fight presents October to Dismember. But I'm telling you what, the mystery ingredient is going to be killer. The mystery ingredient's off the chain. I can't tell you what it is because that would give it away. But it's sick. It's off the chain. Like, people are going to freak out when they see it. They're going to lose their mind when they see the mystery ingredient, which makes me excited. So anyway, you guys, hopefully you get a chance to check that out. Again, big shout out to my friend Ori at OriNYC on Instagram. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. I'll see you guys next week. Have a great night. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.